Neither is there salvation in any other. Oh, what sweet words about Christ and our salvation. Let's study this great subject.
Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.
Welcome once again to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. Each week we aim to spend just a few moments looking at the precious book divine, the Bible, as we examine book, chapter, and verse. Thanks for joining me today. And please know that at the end of our broadcast, we will offer Bible study material absolutely free so that you may continue your studies in God's Word in the privacy of your home. So please stay tuned. We'll have that information at the end of our program. And thanks again for being with me today. Neither is there salvation in any other. Let's consider that text from Acts the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 12. This is Peter. He is speaking unto those of that day and time. He's preaching the gospel unto them. And he says, beginning in verse 10 of Acts 4, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." He's referring to the lame man there in Acts 3. And then he says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Kind friends, salvation from sin is in the Christ and none other. There is salvation in none other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Christ and Christ alone. Now, we clearly understand the end in this text. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. We understand in. There's no salvation in any other person other than Jesus Christ. Think about the word in. For example, when one is in, say, my home state of Tennessee, things are different than when one is in Georgia. Some time ago, my wife and I were traveling. We were in another state. And we walked into a restaurant. And we were asked, smoking or non-smoking? And it threw us for a moment. Because in Tennessee, restaurants are smoke-free. But when we were in another state, it was a different thing. So we understand what it means to be in a certain place. Another example, when one is in his or her parents' house, that is different from being somewhere else. I can remember my dad saying, "As long as you are in my house, you will do as I say." Once we move out in our houses or in our place of residence, it's a little different story. So we understand that word in. Neither is there salvation in any other. Only in Christ. Now, let's back up in the book of Acts and let's look a little bit at what Peter proclaimed for his listeners to do. In Acts chapter 2, as Peter preached on that day of Pentecost, and we're reminded of those added to the church, Peter proclaimed for his listeners to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Those that did so in verse 41 were added, placed in the church. And verse 47 says, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." On this broadcast of book, chapter, and verse, we're going to conclude our studies on the church we read of in the New Testament as we see the salvation that is in Christ. We wish to carefully notice that what is in Christ is in His church, and what is in the church should be in Christ, of Christ and taught by Christ. Now, before we engage a little further into our study, I hope our study and our series on the church here on Book, Chapter, and Verse has continued to pique your interest in knowing more about the church we read of in the New Testament. That is the only church, folks, that any preacher would have an authority to endorse or to push. And if a church cannot be found within the pages of the New Testament, then we need to really think about our relationship within that certain church. But if we notice that what's in Christ is in His church, and what is in the church should be in Christ, of Christ, and taught by Christ, this helps us to take God's Word and God's Word alone to see those identifying marks. All right, here we go. Folks, number one, salvation is always in Christ. No exceptions. Once again, Acts 4 and verse 12, there is salvation in none other. Nobody is going to be saved without Christ. Nobody is going to be saved outside of Christ. Now, if one is in Christ, one is also in the church. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. If I am in Christ, then I am in the church. If I am in the church, I am in the body. If I am in His body, I am in His church. I am in Christ where there is salvation. And we're reminded later in Ephesians 5:23 how that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body. Now think with me for a moment. We noted from Acts 2:47 a while ago that the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. He added the saved to the church. If the church is His body, and it is, Ephesians 1:22, and we would also say Colossians 1:18, if He is in the body, and the saved are in the body, the body is the church, the saved are in the church, then Jesus is the Savior of the body. He is going to save those that are in the church, for that's where the saved are located. Salvation is always in Christ, always in His body, always in His church. Now, there's an argument that is fairly popular, and it goes like this. Give me Jesus, but not the church. Kind friend, we mean all grace, but in saying this, give me Jesus, but not the church, is not biblical. One cannot separate Christ and His church, for the church is His body, and He is the head. Now, if you separate the head, Christ, from the body, the church, you're not going to have life. Give me Jesus but not the church is another way of someone saying, let me kind of do things my way, but there's salvation in none other, only Christ. Give me Jesus but not the church is not biblical. Now I mentioned, give me Jesus who's the head of the church, but not the church, the body. If you separate the head from the body can't live. When I was a boy, growing up in Middle Tennessee, I was near a river, creeks, and it wasn't uncommon to see a snake pay a visit. And whenever we went to kill a snake, we always aimed right at the head. If we could separate the head from the body, that body might shake and twist and do everything else. But if we separated the head from the body, we knew we had killed that snake. When we separate the head from the body, when we separate Christ from His church, it's as dangerous as a snake that can attack. because then we separate what God actually joined together. Salvation is always in Christ and in His church, of which He is the head of the body, the church. And let's notice secondly, what is in Christ is also in His church, and there are no exceptions. What is in Christ, what is in His body, is also in His church, for, as we've noted, the church is His body. We become God's people in Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, written to the churches there at Galatia, those congregations that were in that region. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Notice, baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ. When they were baptized on the day of Pentecost, would they have been baptized into Christ? Yes. For they were added to the church, which is His body. They were in the body of Christ, of which He is the head. In His church, there are all spiritual blessings that are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. A person outside of Christ can't experience the spiritual blessings that God grants to His children. In Christ, we have redemption and forgiveness. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 2 and verse 16, we are reconciled to God in Christ. That we are reconciled or joined back together in Christ. Listen to Colossians 1, beginning with verse 18, that says that He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Why, we are reconciled to Christ, in Christ. Now, put this together and think with me for a moment. When one is baptized into Christ, he puts on Christ. He becomes a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Within Christ Jesus are the spiritual blessings. Within Christ is redemption and forgiveness. Within Christ is reconciliation brought back to God and reconciled to Christ. You know, there are over 80 passages in the New Testament dealing with the phrase in Christ. And in every instance, each and everything mentioned pertaining to being in Christ is in His church. What is in Christ is also in His church, no exceptions. If I get into Christ, then I am going to be getting into His church. I'll be added to His church, just like they were on the day of Pentecost. Dear friend, you can be a member of the church we read of in the New Testament and be a member of that church only and know that is the church of which God, through Christ, intends for us to be a member, to be part of that body. Now, with our time remaining, you may wonder, Jeff, you have me interested. I love our studies about the church. It's so simple to look in God's Word and see the simplicity of the church and all of its characteristics. It's interesting to just take the Bible and the Bible alone and to learn of that. Jeff, if I wanted to get into Christ, if I wanted to be added to that church I read of in the New Testament, what do I need to do? My friends, so many individuals wish to share the ABCs of salvation, but have we spelled it out correctly? someone wished to say, well, we just go by steps. I like to think about salvation as going up a ladder. You may take away from one step to the next one, but you're closer to where you need to be. Let's think about what they did in the first century, and then let's consider. First of all, to understand anything about Christ, about the church, we have to hear about it. Before I understand or accept anything, I have to hear what's there. I have to listen carefully. There are times someone says, all right, here is your agreement. Here is your contract. You need to sign. I want to hear about it, but I also want to understand it. You know, in Matthew 15:10, Jesus said, hear and understand. Jesus expected and wanted folks to understand. That's why he taught in parables. It would help people to understand. One must hear the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 tells us how the gospel of Christ, that it is the power of salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So if I am going to believe that gospel, I need to hear about it. Listen to what Paul told the church at Corinth, those Christians, in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Sounds like to me they had to hear what they were going to believe. Now, when one hears the gospel of Christ, then one has to make a decision. Do I want to believe that gospel, or do I not want to believe it? Listen to Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17, of the importance of believing what's heard. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So I've got to hear it in order to believe it. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. They might have heard and believe it, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I hear the word of God, that moves me to my faith. Jesus said in John 8:24, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. One must believe that gospel. Now, you're thinking, okay, Brother Archie, you read about calling on the name of the Lord. That's coming. But one must repent of one's past. In Acts 2 and verse 38, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The first word out of Peter's mouth was repent. We must repent of our past. Luke 13 verse 3, Jesus said, nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a word that means a change of decision which responds with a change of direction. That means that I am going to cease living the life that I've lived, and I am going to change my life and live a better way. Isn't it interesting of those that confess Christ in the first century? Jesus taught of that importance of confession in Matthew 10:32, to confess Him before men. A text that means that that confession continues because of our life. But in Acts 8, verse 37, I love the story of the eunuch. As he was on the road heading back to Queen Candace, and on the road to Gaza, which is called desert, Philip ran to the chariot and asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless some man should guide me?" He wanted to hear it. He needed to understand it and to believe it. And in Acts 8 and verse 37, they came upon a certain body of water. Actually, going back to verse 36, and he said, "Well, see, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" Peter said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And then he made the confession. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the solid foundation." He confessed Christ as the Son of God. Coming right off that text, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, and he baptized the eunuch. Baptism into Christ. We put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. Did you know there are only two texts in the Bible that tells us how to get into Christ? Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:4-6. Both of them say baptism puts us into Christ. We can't hear into Christ. We can't believe into Christ. John 12:42 speaks of those that believed Christ but did not confess Him lest they be cast out of the synagogue. Their faith and faith alone didn't save them. The devils believe and tremble, James 2:19, but their faith alone won't save them. You can't believe into Christ. You can't repent into Christ. You can't confess into Christ. But my friends, you can be baptized into Christ based upon your belief, your repentance, and your confession. According to Mark 16:16, baptism will save us based upon our faith. 1 Peter 3:21, it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. That like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Well, yeah, Jeff, but you said calling upon the name of the Lord. That's right. Listen to Acts 22, verse 16. Saul is telling once again of his conversion. And how Ananias said to him, "And Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." When would he call on the name of the Lord? When his sins were washed away through baptism. You know, in Acts chapter 9, we find that Paul, at the time Saul, had been praying. But he still needed to be taught what to do to become a Christian. Baptism allows us to rise newness of life, Romans 6:1-7. We're raised to walk as a new creation. We've already noted for remission of sins in Acts 2 and verse 38. Not because sins were already remitted, oh no. In Matthew 26:28, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." When Jesus shed His blood, that's when sins would be remitted. When one is baptized into Christ, it's for remission of sins. I've met with many an individual that says, "Jeff, my cancer is in remission. It's gone." When one is baptized, that spiritual cancer, sin, is gone. Life doesn't stop there. In newness of life, we must remain a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And Ephesians chapter 4, 21-24, they were taught to be renewed in the spirit of their mind and to keep that new man in Christ. Keep the new man on. Keep that new man fresh in Christ Jesus. Put off that former lifestyle. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. Put away the things of the earth. How beautiful. Dear friends, that's how you get into Christ. That's how you get into His church. And that's all that you do to become a Christian. In just a little bit, we'll share with you contact information. If you're thinking about this lesson and want to obey the gospel of Christ and be added to His church, you can be this very day. Let us hear from you and let us be in Christ and in His church. And now, let's take a few moments and praise our Father in song.
humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power of power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
I'm always filled on the weakness of Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not cross or see his grave, but holy being of Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy day.
My friend, there is no greater protection than to be in Christ and His church. Are you in Christ? Are you in His church? Again, you can be this very day.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.